the Tagcast podcast on the internet. Two of the all-time losers bringing you podcast death. We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. In case your tractor hits a cow, it's the Tagcast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the Tagcast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
I'm getting made for this, boys.
The Tagcast podcast starts right now.
Jesus, save us. Now you have been resurrected. April Fools. Welcome to episode 413 of the Tagcast Podcast. I am Gatchalapagolagai.
Gatchalapalo Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't come back yesterday.
What?
Nope. He didn't raise from the dead. Damn it. Oh, well. I'm Terry Guile, and this is the Tagcast Podcast. Welcome to it.
So, wait a minute.
It's Monday.
He didn't come back yesterday.
No, I don't know if he was supposed to, but...
Oh. Well, is Easter the day that he did resurrect?
Yeah, so Good Friday, which was last Friday, was the day that they killed him.
Uh-huh.
They buried him for 3 days, and then on Sunday, he came back from the dead. But what's weird to me is Christmas is always on the 25th of December, which isn't even his birthday to begin with.
Yeah.
And then Easter is just on some random 16th Sunday of the year or something weird like that. Mm. So, like... I played a show on Easter in 91, and it was April 19th. This year, Easter's in March. Totally different month.
Seem, yeah.
Doesn't make no
that's
sense.
That's like 3 or 4 weeks away.
So they must not have had a date, so they're just going by the actual... Because, you know, you lose a day each year, and if it's a leap year, you lose
so
two.
So pretty soon, Christmas and Easter will be on the same day.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, it's going back. That's right.
I would like to...
That's kind of like having a birthday and Christmas at the same time.
Yeah.
Very fun for kids.
So, did they bury him in a pet cemetery? Is that why he came back 3 days later?
It was actually a... what do you call it? Not a pet cemetery. It was called a... I can't even think of the word for it. Because I'm on the spot right now.
Yeah.
But I wish I could have thought of the word that I wanted to think of, which would be like a demigod...
Oh, okay.
...cemetery. A cemetery where you... A deity cemetery. How about that?
Okay, yeah.
Anybody with some powers, like, they can walk on water, change...
He was just
then a, change the water into wine.
I wonder, a lot of people say Jesus was just a man, but I differ.
You differ?
I differ.
Beg to. You better beg.
Okay, I'm going to beg to differ.
Okay.
Please, let me differ.
Okay, go ahead.
He's an alien.
Of course.
You know, I mean...
Jesus built the pyramids.
Well, maybe relations of...
Yeah.
But, you know, at certain points in our history, you know, we reach leaps and bounds of technology that are unexplainable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfectly, you know, I mean, he came down with some philosophies. People listened.
Yep.
And then people might have took it too far.
Thanks, Jesus.
I read yesterday a Gallup poll. You know, you like the Gallup polls? They do a lot of polls.
Not really big into running, but I like the Gallup.
And... they did one. They did metropolitan areas on how religious people are.
Ooh!
And they did the Medford and the Eugene Springfield and the Portland area, and in almost all three of those regions, nearly 50% were non-religious, as to under 25% were very religious.
Whoa! But did they determine what religion they were?
No,
no.
No, they were just asking about how religious they were. And, yeah, it was very religious, somewhat religious, and then not religious at all.
Huh.
Not affiliated. Almost 50% in each of the three. It was like 46 to 48, which is pretty high.
Somewhat religious?
Yeah, they were all in the bottom 10 of the... probably about 100, I think, that they They did Utah, Ogden, Utah.
Mormons.
Yeah, Salt Lake wasn't up there, though.
Yeah.
Not as high as you would have thought.
You know, speaking of Mormons and religion, there was a first time ever that I know of, admittedly, in the competition on Saturday at the Oregon's Last Comedian Standing, there was a Mormon, an older Mormon that was probably 50 or 60, and he made some Mormon jokes.
Oh, really?
And then he was just about to get... Now, this is another weird thing. I don't know how I feel about it, but at the beginning of the contest, they said, watch the light, comics. You'll get one flash when you have 2 minutes left, and then you'll get two flashes when you have 1 minute left, which is fucking
what
confusing. Yeah, well, no, they shine it right in your face. It's a flashlight. You can actually see the light on the comic's face from the audience. So, So, which is confusing. One blink means you have two, and two blinks means you have one. Why don't you do two blinks saying you got 2 minutes left, and then one blink says you got one, and then when you get to the 10 minutes, it's solid light in your face. And so before they started, Alex Elkin, the host, said, now watch the light, you guys, because if you go over, you're disqualified. And that's harsh. And a bunch of people went over, and none of them got disqualified. So I don't know if they got points deducted. I don't think they did. But whatever. And anybody listening, no, I didn't make it through, so that's why I'm going sour grapes on you guys. No, I was close, though,
I had a great time.
You
know, if you stayed it like that, you should follow through with it.
Yeah, well, then the guy, the Mormon that I was talking about, was getting the solid light, and he just kept going because he wasn't done. But also what he was doing... He goes, I'm going to riff off, because he did some Mormon jokes. And then he goes, I'm going to riff off another comic. But he was pretty much ripping him off. But he said riffed off of another comic. You might be a Mormon if. And then he went into about four of those. And I think that kind of disqualified him. Because even though that's not a direct ripoff, kind of like you might be a bird. Yeah. But he's if your whole family takes up one pew, you might be a Mormon. Because his big families pick up the whole pew. And then, like, after the light was on him and he kept doing, they're like, stop talking. Stop. You're done, you know. So I don't know. He didn't make it. And he had the largest amount of people there for him that cheered
really?
When he went up, you know.
Maybe he thought he didn't have a chance, so he just kind of.
No, I thought for sure he was going to get through. But and then Dylan also got the solid light and finished his joke about 20 seconds over 10 minutes, and
so was he a polygamist?
No, but they were making jokes about him. The host kept saying, is that you and your wives over there? I don't think he's a polygamist. I don't think that's legal in Oregon. I don't think you can do that in Oregon.
Polygamy isn't in Mormon religion. That's a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
It's like a dividing point between two different groups of Mormons, and I think in the Utah, is it?
Yeah.
I think polygamy's still practiced in like the Southeast.
Yeah.
Kind of area.
The big love part of the state.
Yeah, I don't think it's practiced by the majority of Mormons, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those bastards.
So, yeah, it was a fun time. Had a few friends come out and support, and my daughter and my wife and some other friends came out. And congratulations to those who got through, Will Woodruff. He's been plugging along for about 6 years now, so good job, Will. Plenty of anal jokes and sex jokes, and he still got through, so that was kind of cool. See who else got through. Dylan Flynn from the podcast cast.
He made it through.
Yep.
Nice.
And then a younger kid named Nathan Woodworth, who did about 15 impersonations, everyone from John Wayne and Clint Eastwood to Dr. Phil and Jim Carrey. He was good.
Did he do Fred McMurray, though?
No, he did Paul McCartney. And he did
Paul or Fall?
It was Paul. He was basically a Dana Carvey. That was kind of a Dana Carvey ripoff, I thought. And then he was doing Dr. Phil interviewing Sean Connery, which was pretty funny. I fucked your mother last night, Trebek. So, yeah, those three got through, and then that adds to the list for the last time was Mac Chase and Paul Schaefer.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Paul Schaefer, whatever. I call him Paul Schaefer. Max Brockman, Stephen Glasgow, Joseph Glasgow, Stephen Kirby. I got a good memory. Anyway, congratulations to all those guys for making it through. The finals are every Saturday coming up, so go check it out. Go support. But if you didn't come see me, I don't want you to go because that'd be bullshit.
Yeah. So the other day you went and saw and you met Anthraxian and a few other bands.
Yeah, yeah. We were pretty stoked. We got there about 4 o'clock because that's when it said we were supposed to get there. Uh-huh. And there was a little bit of a line of about 40 people that we were very in the back. Jason Moser was there in the line, and he's all like, right. Back of the line, hippie.
Is this a VIP line?
Yeah, VIP meet and greet thing, and it was supposed to open at 4:30. Doors, they didn't end up opening the doors till like 5:15, so we had to stand out on the sidewalk in the sun for an hour.
I told you that Scott Ian guy, he was not good anymore.
He was too cool to come meet us. Apparently,
was that a meet and greet?
Well, the one guy in the line said, hey, my thing said first that we get to meet one member or all members of each band. And then they reneged and sent everyone an email, said you get to meet two members of each band. So it was Joey Belladonna and Frank Bello, the bass player, who were both in the band. I mean, I brought my old Anthrax album that didn't even have Joey Belladonna or Frank Bello.
So those two guys work the whole crowd, or did like...
No, they sit at a table. They sit at a table, and you walk in a line, and you basically...
But it was just those two. It wasn't like you had your choice of which two to meet. Like, oh, no, two were at this table.
Just the two. Nope. That's why I say Scott Ian didn't come down. Charlie Benante wasn't even there because he's not on the tour because he's in some legal trouble and stuff. So
I thought it was Charlie Belladonte.
No, that's the baby that they had together. Jolie Belladonte.
So,
you know, Matt Pike from High on Fire, they're a three-piece. He wasn't there, but the bass player and the drummer was. You know, so you kind of got slim pickings. It was Gary Holt from Exodus who's been touring with Slayer, so that's cool.
Yeah.
He's basically in Slayer because Jeff Hanneman, from the sounds of things, is not going to be coming back anytime soon or ever. And Kerry King recently announced that if that happens, he would love to have Gary Holt as a full-time member of Slayer.
But Kerry also said that, you know, it's Jeff's to give up.
Oh, totally. If he said he was going to come back,
then
he would come back. But he was like, it would take some practice because he hasn't played his guitar in a couple years. And the quote was, I'm sure he could play South of Heaven, but I don't know if he could play Jihad, which is a tougher song. So,
yeah,
you know,
that might be true. I mean, you got to build up your chops.
But the other
stuff,
cool thing.
Maybe he's just not in a playing guitar right now.
He might have turned into Pat Wambacher.
Well,
sorry, Pat. Yeah, the dudes from Exodus actually, Dave had met them like three or four times before. So when they saw him, he's like, dudes. And they're like, what the fuck? Because they know he's from Reno.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I came all the way from Reno, man. And they're like, oh, man, we wish we could give you some special something, but we really can't, you know,
because
everybody's paid the same.
Why didn't they just shout him out a birthday thing?
It wasn't his birthday.
So?
Give it up for Death Metal Dave all the way from Reno.
Yeah. Well, see, Scott Ian does meet and greets on his fucking Have a Beer With Me on his spoken word tours.
Well, yeah. They trade off. Maybe they do it at different shows, different times. I was hoping it was going to be Scott Ian because I brought my SOD. I wore my SOD jacket, and I was going to have him sign that.
They did. Don't you think that they would put, like, Scott Ian with, like, the lower tier guy?
Yeah.
And then, like, the two metal guys.
And Scott Ian and the two that I met are the only real members of Anthrax anyway because their guitar player just quit and the drummer's in trouble. So they have fill-in members who are both from the band Shadows Fall, which I don't even care for. But those guys did a really good job. They know the songs. They played perfectly. But
did they die for me and mine?
No. I wouldn't die for them either. Shadows Fall? Is that one of their songs?
No, Anthrax.
Oh, what? They played that whole album. They played Among the Living in its entirety. But when a band says that, they usually play it front to back. They did side one, and then they played like four or five other songs, and then they did side two,
and then they usually have the same people. That
oh, and you know what they did?
Album, right?
You would have been stoked because they made a big deal. Portland didn't make a big enough war dance. So, like, you know, in the middle of a song where it goes, war dance, and it's the mosh part, and that's where everybody's supposed to fucking blow up in the pit.
Yeah.
Well, everybody didn't really blow up, and Scott Ian fucking went, stop, and he stopped the song in the middle. And when he did that, I thought maybe there was a fight in the crowd, because bands do that sometimes.
Yeah, he was just going to
disappear.
He's
like, wait, and then he pointed and I thought he was going to say, security, let that guy go, or that guy's fucking that chick, or whatever. But he's like, listen here, Portland. He's like, we were just here 3 months ago, and I know that you fuckers can do better than that. He's like, when we say war dance, you guys are supposed to go crazy. He goes, granted, a little bit of you did. He goes, but this place is sold out full. I want every motherfucker in here either to jump up and down, bang your head, bang your fist, throw up the horns, do something. And we're going to try this again, Portland, because I know you can do it. It was just a hype thing. But Joey Belladonna did fucking awesome. I've seen some videos, and I thought he was kind of and maybe he'd passed his prime. But he was on it. He fucking hit all of his notes. He was all over the place. Great front man. Worked the crowd into a frenzy. It was a fun time.
Right on.
And we got to stand in the VIP area, so we would get like kind of close, pretty close, but not be smashed by all the crazies. So
that's cool.
And there was a chick in there in a wheelchair. This is kind of funny story. And she was in the VIP, so she wasn't getting smashed. Mm-hmm. And so during Anthrax, there's a little walkway where they would walk people out who crowd surfed over the top and had to come out.
Oh, yeah.
And the walkway divided the beer garden and the all-ages area. And that was right where we were, so everybody that walked by. And sometimes the dudes with their wireless guitars would run down and, you know, give high fives to people while they're playing.
Yeah,
so then we're watching
the eyes with their strings.
Exactly. So we're watching Anthrax, and here comes the drummer from Exodus. And he stops right there because the girl in the wheelchair was right next to me, and he starts talking to her, and he gives her a hug. And they're talking, they're talking into each other's ears because it's a loud concert. And then he goes, I'll be right back. And he goes, and he gets a shirt, and he brings her and gives her a free shirt. From the dude from Exodus, gives her an Exodus shirt, and he's like, thanks for coming, and then they talk for a little bit, and then she leaves. And I was like, that's kind of cool, and I wasn't trying to eavesdrop on her text message conversation, but she was sitting down, and I was standing up, and I looked down, and she had a big iPhone, and so I could see it, mm-hmm. and it said, I just met your son. He's a really nice guy. He gave me a free shirt. I think I hurt my back when I was jumping up and down at Exodus. Bulging discs are not cool.
Uh-huh.
So she was texting the drummer from Exodus's mom.
That's cool.
And everybody got to shake his hand because he was right there. Oh, Tom Hunting, you're fucking awesome. Yeah. So that was a good time.
To a couple questions.
Yeah.
One, have you ever seen a band stop a show to say,
I love you.
Somebody's fucking that chick over there.
No, I haven't. I just made that up.
All right.
Maybe at Woodstock.
Number two, do you kind of feel like you're missing opportunities because... Theoretically, I mean, you could take that dive and just, like, spend your time in a wheelchair, right?
Oh, yeah, I get it. Well, we were going to use my leg and flip it around backwards if they weren't going to let us out to take our signed stuff back to the car, because some shows are no reentry, you know, you can't go out.
Uh-huh.
You're going to expect us to rock out to Anthrax with a record and a poster that we don't want to get smashed?
Yeah.
So they said, no, there's reentry, you just get your stamp and... So, and then the other thing that happened right after that, so she got her shirt, mm-hmm. she puts it in the chair... And then she had crutches too. She would get up out of her wheelchair and like hobble over to the thing and get a drink and then come back to her chair. So she'd stand up sometimes and rock out on her crutches, and her shirt was in her chair. No one was paying attention. Then all of a sudden, about 20 minutes later, she turns around, looks in her chair, and her shirt wasn't there. So she started looking around, and there was a guy standing directly behind her with the same exact shirt draped over his shoulder. But the venue is selling hundreds of these shirts, right? But she automatically thought that it was hers, and she grabs it off his shoulder. She's like, that's my shirt. And he's like, no, it isn't. He goes, I just paid $25 for that shirt. And she's like, nope. Tom Hunting from Exodus gave me this shirt, and you took it. And he's like, I did not. And then her friend is like, what's going on? And he took my shirt, and I got it back. And he's like, I didn't. And they're like, nope. Because she's in a wheelchair, everybody. And then Dave, it was a friend that Dave hadn't seen for a long time, randomly ran into, was with these people with the mm-hmm. wheelchair. And so he goes over there, he's like, what's going on? And she's like, he took my shirt and I got it back. And he's like, that's not fair. His eyes were so big and he was so animated. He's like, I paid $25. Next thing you know, security guard's there. Black guy, what's going on? It's like, I paid $25 for that shirt. She turns around, rips it off my shoulder and says, that's my shirt. And I said, no, dude, my fucking friend's with me when I bought it. She's like, nope. And she checks the size. That's mine, just because it's extra large. Mm-hmm. So they're all freaking out. And then whoever, Smarty Pants, gets their phone out and turns on the light and starts looking on the floor. It had fallen down between her wheelchair and the little wall that she was next to. Big apology to a frustrated guy who was going to lose his shirt. And she's like, I'm sorry. This is your shirt. I found mine. And he's like... Really? Really? So we're cool. Like it wasn't cool, but he was like, so you put me on the spot. There was five people around him like, nope, give the shirt back to the handicapped girl. She said you took it. It's like any girl says you took their shirt, you took their shirt.
Well,
do you
ever feel like, I don't want to say down because it's probably not the right thing, but do you ever feel like cheated? Because
of my handicap?
No, because you're not rolling, you're not taking it to the roll around in a wheelchair kind of level to where people would see your handicap more and go, let's give this guy free soda or something.
I think I would feel more cheated if I had to ride in a wheelchair because that's pretty, not, it's just tough. You can't get into a lot of places.
Right,
and
yeah.
And
yeah,
not only sure. that, it's like people think, oh man, you must have like polio or fucking,
yeah,
what are you, paralyzed? You get in a car wreck, you're paralyzed, and then you get up and walk, and they're like, what the fuck? It's like Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah,
my legs only work sometimes, like when I need to get up and go to the bathroom, my legs work okay. Rest of the time.
Yeah, when I got the squirts.
Rest of the time I'm fucked. I just gotta sit there.
Right on. I actually we got a listener from Boston who listens sometimes, and he always tells us how funny we are. And
Boston.
Yeah, his name is
Matt
Michael Voss.
Oh yeah, he just friended me the other day, and we had a little conversation. He's my stunt brother.
Yeah, yeah. I had not mentioned what we were talking about. I can't even remember. Yeah, and the whole thing, and he's like, "What?" And I didn't even know. And I've known the guy like 5 years. He'd never mentioned it to me or anything.
Oh, he goes, "I'm a friend of Gatch's. We talk quite often online, and it came up the other day that we're because he friend requested me." And
yeah, I was talking about your leg trick or something.
Yeah, and he goes, "It come to my attention that we're stunt brothers," and I was like, "Right on." And then he's like, "I'm BK," which means below the knee. Yeah, and he's like, sometimes when I'm feeling frisky, I'll take it off and put my leg up in the window and like wave at people with my. And I was like, that's cool. I go, I'm AK. So we kind of had like a little conversation. Yeah. I go, I'm AK, and sometimes I flip my leg around. I got a C leg, and I'll flip it around backwards and simulate hyperextension. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, that's too cool. I'm familiar with those. He's like, you got the carbon fiber socket? And I'm like, no, too expensive for me. I go, I don't even know what it's made out of. I just take whatever I can get as long as I can walk. And he's like, oh, you really need to look into it if you can find someone who can make a carbon fiber socket because it's a world of difference. So we had like a little amputee chat.
That's cool.
I didn't ask him how he lost his leg.
He lost it in a motorcycle accident being drunk.
Oh, cool. I mean, that sucks. But yeah. That's,
yeah.
He didn't ask me. I didn't ask him. We haven't got to that stage in our relationship yet. But when we do, boy, I'm going to have a good time. He's probably listening now because, hey, Michael, we gave you a shout out on the internet, so you're probably going to listen. And I know you listen also because he said, I love your stuff, keep up the good work. And those kind words really ring true to us. I appreciate that, the people that we are across the United States listening to
he
us.
He said he wrangled his into a hot wife is what he said.
He wrangled himself into a hot wife?
Yeah, with his
leg?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like having a dog or a baby in the park.
Yeah.
It's just the chick that's like, whoa, look at that stump. God, he's so underprivileged. I feel sorry for him. I'd love to take care of him. And if his penis isn't too big, well, you know what we can... Substitutions here. There were people lighting up lots of weed and throwing weed up on the stage at the show on Friday.
Oh, nice.
And the security guards weren't really doing much about it because the bands were telling them to light up. Who was the band I saw? Municipal Waste. Those guys were kick-ass. I'd never seen them before. They were like high-speed, high-energy, old-school, hardcore punk metal. I thought of Lance when I saw him, and I think Lance likes those guys. I think he probably has some of their CDs. And I got him confused with Toxic Holocaust, which is a very similar band, but different band, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was good times, good times.
I saw those guys before. Toxic Holocaust, I think.
With The Accused
and
Fairmont, huh? Did you go to that show?
Yeah.
Yeah. And those guys are kind of from Portland sometimes.
Yeah, those guys are fun to watch.
Young kids, that young boy.
Yeah, doesn't he? They're like a punker, and they got that lead man with the spiky hair and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought those were pretty good guys. I got a band I'd like to know if you've heard of, but you probably haven't because when I listen to them, they fucking suck.
Did you just like their name?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Weird Al.
Weird Al Yankovic?
No, Weird Al.
Oh, I've never... No, they said they were going to, one of the bands said they were going to be partying at the White Owl afterwards, but I think that was a joke of some kind.
No, I think that's a bar down there.
Oh, I thought it was the skin-tipped White Owl, which is a penis.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, but Weird Owl.
Weird Owl. They're not good, huh?
They're horrible.
What's their genre?
Songs.
What's their genre?
Easy listening rock.
Like,
but it's not that easy to listen to.
I don't know. Like light alternative college rock.
Oh.
You know, that like not REM type college rock. I can't even think of an example because I don't really listen or like that.
Teenage
kind of
Fan Club?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. But not as
good
as
yeah.
Teenage Fan Club because, well, I don't mind that one, Bandwagon-esque.
Yeah. Pat used to like that a lot.
Well, yeah. Well, that's where I got that from.
Yeah.
And Afghan Whigs, which I listen to those, and I'll say I like those albums that he let me listen to because I did. And Come On, Feel the Lemonheads is on there.
Right.
With a Big Gay Heart.
That's funny. That's a funny name for a song.
It is.
So, oh shit, dude, we almost forgot. We got big news for you guys. It's not very fun to tell you guys, but we have recently lost all funding for our show, and that means not only our website's going to be shut down, but no more podcasts. So,
yep.
This is going to be our last episode, guys. I hope you enjoy it.
We didn't even make it to 420. We were hoping to make it to 420.
Yeah, we didn't even make it to, what are we, 413 right now?
Mm-hmm.
Lucky number 13 shut us down.
Yep.
So if you guys want to send in like $150 within the next couple days, we might be able to get a show up Wednesday. Yeah. But I don't think that we're just going to record one today. We normally record three, but I got to go do a comedy competition.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's just going to be it. So
yep.
Well, you guys, thank you guys for listening. We're not done yet today, so don't turn it off yet. But hope you guys enjoyed the run. It was fun times. Moment of silence. Hey, here's a story. We're just talking about amputees in South Carolina. Police down there say a woman was arrested on a domestic violence charge for stabbing her boyfriend and then throwing his prosthetic leg into the yard.
Oh,
actually,
is that an insult now?
Well, no.
When you throw your prosthetic into someone's yard?
No, that's just so he couldn't get away.
Oh, okay. Okay, I heard it wrong. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so they said that they responded to a call just after 11 p.m. There was an altercation with her live-in boyfriend. She accused him of drunkenly hitting her after she threw a pack of cigarettes to him. She said she armed herself with a knife and threatened to stab him, but he continued to come at her, so she swung it at him and she cut his hands in self-defense. The woman said she then took her boyfriend's prosthetic leg and his spare leg and threw them both into the yard to immobilize him. Police said Thomas had a small knot in the middle of her forehead and a small cut on her hand that she said came from her boyfriend trying to take the knife. But the boyfriend also had cuts on his hand and his leg that matched his story. She got arrested.
Wouldn't that be both prosthetic legs, not like threw his prosthetic leg and his spare leg out the...
Well, if they said legs, they might have thought he was a double amputee.
Or just like she cut him off right then.
He threw his real leg and his spare leg and his left leg and his right leg. So she, the wounds that he had were more consistent with his story, which says he was just trying to defend himself. And she was charged with criminal domestic violence of a high and aggravated nature, which
you know
I think
that is
tacked on for throwing the leg out.
You know what that's called? A domesticide, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Domestilegicide.
Yep. So what's weird to me is, though, is that I'm stuck on the she threw the cigarettes to him.
Yeah, it says so, to, not at him.
So how I imagine the whole thing started, right? He said, hey, can you throw me my cigarettes?
And it hit him in the head.
And it hit him in the head. He said, I said to me, not at me. And that's right, I did. Next thing you know, this is where it went.
Yeah, she's like, you want me dead, don't you? You want me dead. And
I'm
like, no,
take your legs.
I just wanted a cigarette. I'm going to break your legs, all right? I'm not being a mobster. I'm going to actually take an axe and break your legs apart.
You're going to take a body spray?
Axe body spray and break your legs apart. Axe body spray. Do people still use that stuff?
I don't know. Dude, it should come with a free axe, though. Or maybe just a hatchet.
Yeah. I don't know. Hey, have you ever motorboated a groundhog?
No.
Is Punxsutawney Phil still out?
Yeah, there was another, well, maybe we talked about it last week.
We did, but I just...
The second person who called for his head.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
That's some bullshit. People want him dead.
Oh, dude, this is funny.
I think it's time to
You can still have Groundhog's Day, but it's time to fucking ditch that fucking...
The movie.
Keep it local in the town for the people that want it, but there's... Does anybody pay attention to, like, the forecast of the groundhog?
Like, when the thing comes in and they're like, oh, cancel our camping trip that we're going this spring because yeah. 6 more weeks of winter.
I never even know what he said. I just know that he came out.
I know he always says something, and then I hear it, and then someone asks me, and I go, I can't remember. Did he see a shadow or didn't he?
Yeah, and what does it mean when when he sees a shadow? Is it spring or winter?
I think when he sees a shadow, that means the sun's up, so it's going to be good. But if he doesn't have a shadow, then it's still shitty. Maybe it's opposite. See, that's how...
Yeah, I think it's opposite.
That's how dumb it is and how trivial it is that nobody even knows or cares except the people from where? Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Punxsutawney.
Oh, that's the name of a town? See, that's how dumb it is. I don't even know that's a town. In Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Punxsutawney, PA?
Yep, and then... because they talk about that... Oh, wait, no, that's something different.
Yeah.
Scranton.
Scranton, PA.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our former carriers, Rock Out Radio, who ditched us.
I think they did.
No, we don't even know why. We sent them a bunch of episodes, and all of a sudden we weren't on there.
Well, I think they just ran out of episodes. They might have went to more music. But...
Maybe Lady Spitfire got offended by something we said.
That's possible.
Because I strive to offend.
I never strove to offend her. But...
No, not her personally, just someone. And if it has to be her, then it has to be her.
Yeah.
You ever go to a major league baseball game or even a minor league baseball game?
I've gone to a minor league up in Salem.
Like at the Kaiser there?
Yeah, Salem Kaiser Volcanoes.
Did you go in the bathroom and pee while you were there?
No.
Well, guess what they're doing now with the urinals at the minor league baseball places?
They're turning them into catcher's gloves.
Video games. Pee-operated video games.
Oh, all right.
So it's called the urinal gaming system is being installed in the urinals at Coca-Cola Park, starting in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Speaking of probably near Punxsutawney, they're the first venue in the United States to have a urine-based video game, which just sounds like it doesn't taste good.
I can see it, though. You got Target, right?
Exactly. Captive Media, the British company behind the game, shows a snowboarding slalom game in the demo video.
Oh, nice.
So, you turn left, you pee left, and to turn right, you pee.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Wait a minute. Either the guy is stupid or the typist is stupid. It says to turn left, pee left. To turn right, pee left.
The video said that.
The players are given codes at the end of the game to put in an online leaderboard, and these games are sure to make a huge splash.
Yeah. So, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it'd make peeing fun.
And then, when you're going to have the battleship?
I thought it was just going to be like...
the battleship toilets after a while.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, with the turds.
Yeah, and my thing is with the shooting games, you know, because you'll have, like, the asteroid thing.
Uh-huh.
And so... You're going to have to be like, pew, 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 pew,
pew, pew. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to build up some muscles.
What you're going to have to do is you're just going to have to squeeze the top and just let little spurts out. And here's the thing. Yeah. The first thing I thought when I thought, because I'm old, and I thought, oh, a urinal game. It's probably one of those things like at the fair where you squirt a water gun into a hole and it makes the clown's face go up.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
You have to have a strong stream, though.
Yeah,
like,
that is true.
There was a fake commercial on.
Unless
Sorry,
it was
I lied
like,
about that.
Unless it was like form fitting, so there wasn't so much air getting out of it.
Yeah,
so
there's a pill you can take. It's fake, but it's funny. On SNL, they had a commercial. Are you tired of being embarrassed by a small stream of urine when you're in a public restroom? It's called something I can't remember, and it's just like they have to. It's a two flusher. You got to flush the toilet twice while you're pissing because it fills it up. It fills up the whole toilet bowl with urine.
So, it'll automatically flush, though.
And it was all splashing up on his face and stuff.
So what's the game's going to be like at the sperm banks?
It'd have to be a one-shot deal.
It would.
Yeah,
it'll be like one of those circus hammer things, right?
I want to know when
like,
they're going
to... Like, you got to hit the target as hard and try to ring the bell.
Yeah. Ding! I want to know when they're going to have the stand-up urinals for ladies that have like a rump kind of... But you just kind of back
don't
up to
they?
Them. I think they do, but I don't think they have them in America yet.
Oh, yeah, where you just kind of back up to it, and it doesn't seem really sanitary, but...
Yeah, but what is?
Yeah, yeah.
You're dangling your ding-dong down there.
Most of the places for us are horse troughs.
Oh, that was another thing a guy said when I was doing my set there tonight. I was talking about weed being a gateway to itself and then a gateway to cookies and how much I like cookies, and he's like, yeah, and ding-dongs. I'm all, weed's a gateway to ding-dongs for you? That's gross.
Uh-huh.
I don't like to put ding-dongs in my mouth. I was talking about penises, but he was talking about the delicious chocolatey.
He was talking about munchies.
Yeah, I said cookies, and he said ding-dongs. And I was like, you should have said Twinkies, dude, because ding-dongs is another word for penis.
Well, yeah, but Twinkies look like a penis.
They do, but...
And zingers, you know. Somebody once told me, because I like the zingers.
I like the raspberry zingers.
Yeah, and good. I was eating a chocolate one time, and somebody said... It looks like you're putting a big black dick in your mouth.
Whoa!
And I was like...
How do you even know what that looks like?
And first of all, I'm like, I'm never going to eat one of these again. Thank you for spoiling that.
Yeah, well,
I might have to eat it with a knife and a fork from now
see,
on.
See, now people might tell you about that other things, and you can't let it discourage you.
It's like, yeah.
Every time you put your mouth up to that microphone.
But it makes me think about it every time I fucking see a chocolate zinger now,
well,
which
someone,
I don't see.
What if someone said that about a microphone and said, every time you put your mouth up there, it looks like you're going to suck a big black dick.
Yeah, yeah. But
you're like, oh.
I don't really think about that.
I wouldn't think about it either.
Yeah.
Mine has
but
a...
just the chocolate zinger was just so funny.
Yeah, I bet she wants my chocolate zinger.
So I got a proposal for you.
That's so weird. Have you ever been, like, listening to someone talk and then, like, reading something at the same time and then they say the same word that you're
was
reading?
Was it proposal?
It was, dude. Look. Right. It's right there. So right. Go ahead with your proposal. It's fucking weird.
I'm going to start. It's just going to be me in a management role type of project manager. Okay. But Jingle House.
Oh, Jingle Hizzy.
Yeah, Jingle Hizzy.
I heard about that. I did.
Yeah,
not...
I want to do it as an official business. I'm going to register the business, and prices are exuberant on those, and I think I sent you an email about it. Those were ridiculously low.
I don't think they're exuberant. They're exorbitant.
But those were... those
which
were
very close.
Those were extremely low as far as, like they were like 10%.
Oh. Well, we're in the wrong business.
That's what I was saying.
Welcome to the Jingle Cast.
So I think it's something that we could collaborate with ourselves and other musicians that, you know, I mean... Yeah, we know musicians who can and do that, and you got Mike on the little...
Yeah, and by the way, don't get discouraged. The TagCast rep will still be released, even though this is the last episode. We just had a busy schedule today, and we didn't get a chance to finish it. It's a good one. I think anybody who loves hip-hop will love it. And if you love the TagCast and don't love hip-hop, you'll get a kick out of it anyway.
What is this?
The TagCast rap. Remember, we tried to record it last week, but I got to re-record it because we were in a hurry and it didn't turn out good.
Yeah.
Not that my performance wasn't fucking spectacular, but it was a little too hot. So we're going to have our mix master Mike mix it up.
Now, did you prefer it with the levelized? Even when it had music to it?
No, because it got, like, when I'd come in with my vocals, the music would get quieter.
Yeah, so you almost had to,
he's going
to
layer it.
Because that's why I gave you both, is because I was like, well, you probably mixed it to the one.
Well, I didn't
and
even
I
really
know
pay
prior
attention.
With, like, long songs, the levelizer, you know, especially if the song is quiet and then loud.
You can really notice it. Yeah.
Go all over.
Yep. So, yeah. Oh, and there's this, too. Don't forget about that. Hans, I know that you're going to love our rap song. I know you hate Eminem, but... Jerry Murphy there singing with us. He's on the show every day. He is a player. And he's not listening to Slayer today. He's listening to a band that I've heard of and he's bragged about before. I listened to him. I didn't really... I don't know. They're a good band, but... Not my cup of tea. Solitude Eternus, which is A-E-T-U-R-N-U-S.
Solitude Eternus.
They're a band from Texas, if my memory serves me correctly. I believe that's true. I hope it's true. And if it's not, Hans, hit us up on the old internets. What's it called? Tumblr. He likes to answer us on Tumblr. But he's listening to a CD called Alone, which
he is
very fitting. Rocket.
My only Tumblr
subscriber?
No, my only Tumblr Tumblr friend.
Interactor?
Yeah. Yeah.
Only one that ever
talks
to.
He's like a pen pal, but it's a Tumblr pal.
Oh.
Yeah. He doesn't have an account, he just does anonymous, so I can't ever answer him back.
Oh.
Which is, that's where we're at in our relationship.
Well, we answer him via this. But
since this is our last episode, I got a few questions that I had planned on asking him this week. And but I would like to blast them out right now.
Okay.
First is a band, and he might have, you know, he does some off the wall. And I'm not sure if I'm saying this right. UFO Mammut.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if it's UFO Mammut.
No, it's UFO Mammut.
Mm-hmm. And
I think.
they were really, really. They're really drony, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's
I'm
been
not
a couple weeks.
How do you spell it? UFF?
UFO Mammut.
That'd be cool if you said it like that.
UFO Mammut.
UFO.
It's been a couple weeks, but you know,
Ufo
it's
Mott.
Interesting.
I think it's UFO Mammut.
No, it's UT at the end.
UFO Mammut.
UFO Mammut. It was pretty noisy for me. That was my note on it. I tried, you know,
it says
and some
too noisy.
Too, yeah. But it was a band I didn't know, you know. Sometimes you see those little suggesteds on the sides, and especially on the Doom, I like to check those out because that's how I find some cool do anything. And this was another question I had for Hans, and I think I asked you this before. What was the first album, Hans, you bought with your own money?
Oh, yeah, we talked about this, I think, season one.
Yeah, but I don't think we ever asked Hans.
No, we didn't.
What do you think it is? So, look, when did you first buy your own album with your own money? What, five, like eight?
I think I was nine.
Eight or nine?
It was just with allowance that my parents would give
me. Yeah, for sure.
And I can, I think of the year, and that will make me know what, it was 79. So, yeah, I was 11.
So
I bought the Cars.
And he's about the same age, right?
I think he's 1 year younger than me, maybe a year and a half.
So that's probably around the, in 1980. Do you think he was UFO around then?
Yeah, but I don't know if Hans was into UFO at that time. I think he was into punk rock.
At like eight?
I don't know. But I don't know if he was buying records at eight.
He could have been, though.
Like if it was at 11.
Well, he probably bought like, you know, something mainstream. If he's into music, he might have bought, well, because he was into the old bubblegum songs.
Yeah, maybe he bought ABBA.
Maybe. Maybe you bought some Ted Nugent.
Yeah, maybe. AC/DC.
Yeah.
That was one of the first tapes that first, like, maybe a five that I bought was Highway to Hell, Journey Departure, which had any way you want it, that's the way you need.
What if what if his first album was like some band you'd never heard of, though?
It'd be awesome. That'd just prove that how obscure he is.
Or it was like some heavy doom.
Or if it was UFO Mammut.
Yeah.
Which I found out they're from Italy. They're a power trio formed in 1999. And they're worldwide recognized as the creator of a unique brand of psychedelic sludge.
I do like, and I have found... drone doom.
Yeah, that's as it says. It's droning vocals.
Yeah, the vocals I never really got to, though.
Massive effects on the band combines monumental riffing attitude and the psychedelia of the more visionary Pink Floyd, it says.
I think that's kind of like, I remember a practice I used to like jam around on the E's and the 7's and, you know, just stuff on that. I think that's kind of droney, doomy, rockish.
Yeah.
So I think, I find a certain appeal to the drone doom. And I got one more question for Hans.
Hans, pay attention.
And this is, what was that one band name you never got to use? Like, mine is Spartakai, right?
Right.
Historically, people know I've been trying to push that band name into something. To where it's, you know, it's jokingly.
You know what mine is?
What's that?
Vince Neil Diamond.
Vince Neil Diamond.
Yep.
That
is, I hope somebody doesn't steal that because that's kind of golden.
And well, yeah. Well, you just need to buy the web address.
Yeah.
So I want to know Hans's In high school, we were the waste of gargoyles, but we never had instruments.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. You had a band and a whole vision and everything, but no actual performing.
Yeah, we used to jump around on a bed and sing and rock out to Dr. Feelgood. And other Motley Crue. I mean, we had the whole category. But, man, that's a... When you're, like, 16... Wait, that came out in 91. So, like, yeah, 15, 16. Dude, that album was pretty fucking
rocking. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, high-energy riffs, just, like, exploding, just, like... It was a fueled rocket album, overproduced.
Yeah.
But, you know...
See, and for me, that was Shout Out the Devil, because that's when I was 14 or...
And that was... We rocked that one, too, for sure, 15. And the Too Fast for Love. Of course, we weren't, like, rocking to the Without You...
Yeah.
Or,
come on.
There was a couple other Dr. Feelgood hits that were kind of cheese,
mm-hmm.
even back then. But that Without You song, man, that is so horrible. And sometimes they'll play that on the new Not Rockography.
Oh, yeah?
Like, very rarely, but Jesus. What was he thinking with that song?
Yeah, they were looking for a wider audience. I'm sure that the production company or... record company and the producer probably had something to do with it.
They said, write another Home Sweet Home.
Exactly.
It was what they said. And then,
they tried.
And,
and they failed.
That song is horrible.
Yeah, it is. Hey, I forgot to tell everybody, even though I didn't make it through in that contest, they gave a cool prize pack out. My Facebook friends know about it, but I'm going to tell you because High Tide Smoke Shop gave a good deal. I think when I'm in town tomorrow, because we're going to have Chris Castles and Mac Chase on the show on Wednesday and maybe Friday as well. But anyway, yeah, I got to get down to High Tide here in Eugene. I got a $20 gift certificate, some watermelon papers, blueberry wraps, strawberry kiwi pre-rolled blunt cones, an Aeroshot energy supplement, which is like a fucking, almost like a asthma inhaler. It's an energy shot. Mike said they're pretty awesome. And a box of Nag Champa, which I don't really like, but I got in a High Tide sticker, and two individually wrapped candies, which I'm not sure what they are. One's orange and one is green. I'm kind of scared. But, yeah, that was awesome. And I got a two-town Cider Heist t-shirt.
Cider
Hizzy, which they make some pretty good shit. So it wasn't for nothing, and it was a
good
time.
Yeah, that's cool.
Had fun times.
If you go, I wonder if they would... hook up a sponsorship.
Maybe. I'll have to hit him up. I should hit up Alex Elkin and see, because they do really well with sponsors, and I don't know if they have an art to it or if they just contact the right people who are really down for it or whatever. But
I think it's probably just getting out there and asking. Mm-hmm. I can make a sales sheet. You know, I think I actually have one.
Right.
Of that shows the pricing and puts it all out in front of people.
Yep. But, we were talking about what we were listening to. I forgot to mention that other day. That's all right. Totally my fault.
Me too.
I was listening to Judas Priest's Hellbent for Leather.
Nice.
Which has Delivering the Goods on it, which is an awesome tune. But then there's some weird songs that I didn't really remember or haven't listened to for a long time. And he's really gay. He sings kind of gay and sings gay lyrics. He's pretty gay. And that's not anything bad. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying I can't believe I didn't notice earlier.
Yeah.
The correlation between Leatherman and Rob Halford.
Mm-hmm.
Both gay. But Leatherman wasn't even gay. He just acted gay, which is fucking weird to me.
Hmm.
None of the Village People were actually gay.
Yeah.
They were actors. Master thespians.
The Monkees Part 2.
Yeah. Just think if the Monkees were gay. That's where AIDS
came from. I'm a believer.
That's where AIDS came from. Gay monkeys.
I'm not your butthole friend.
Somebody got raped by Davy Jones, and then they had AIDS.
Do you watch Mad Men?
No, I never have, and I've thought about it, but never did. Because I thought I'd be getting myself into something I didn't really have time for. You like it? You watch it?
I've tried. I watched first season and half, and then it's one of those shows to where I lost that cable package, and I don't know where I was, and so I don't know. I don't know if I was at the middle of season two or like halfway through season three.
Right.
And then they just released season five on Netflix, and season six starts next week. I love John Hamm.
Yeah, he was funny on, he hosted Saturday Night Live a couple times. I've seen him on there.
Yeah.
He was on comedy Bang Bang.
He can do drama and comedy, and he's very funny.
Have you watched the TV show Comedy Bang Bang?
I have not.
I don't really get it. It's kind of funny, but it's not funny enough to.
Scott Aukerman's got kind of a funny style. He likes a lot of drawn out, awkward humor.
Yeah, and like camera pan, like deadpan, saying something weird and then waiting. And all the episodes are like the guest's name and what they're wearing. Mm-hmm. Zach Galifianakis wears a corduroy jacket. Or Amy Poehler wears a blue shirt and black slacks.
I'm not familiar with much of Scott Aukerman's.
And Reggie Watts is his Paul Schaefer.
Yeah, video style comedy.
I used to love Comedy Death Ray.
He was with Mr. Show, I do believe.
Yeah, I believe so too. Yep.
You know, so he's done a lot of stuff. He does stuff on Funny or Die.
Yeah.
I saw a Funny or Die the other day that was pretty funny, but I don't remember which one it was.
No, darn it.
Damn it, if you know, look on my Facebook page.
I heard that Spicy News is on Funny or Die now, too, so that's kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, is there any... I don't know. I was talking about it last night before that guy told me to... They told him to give me the light. I don't know if I mentioned that. I had a little heckler. I was talking about smoking weed and how it's not a gateway drug, and the guy's all, give him the light, whatever. I was just trying to segue here to this pot story in Texas. University of Texas student government struck down a proposal to support ticketing rather than arresting people who are possessing less than a quarter pound of marijuana, 4 ounces. And that's when I was reading the word, the proposal, when you were giving me your proposal about 15 minutes ago. It'd be non-binding, and it would require the campus police to actually arrest the people. That's just stupid. Hmm. Why? Students come to the university to change the world and learn not to get high.
That's not true.
What's college for?
Who in college?
Getting high and fucking bitches.
Who in college is changing the world?
And this is Austin, Texas.
Nobody in college. I mean, people in college are changing the world, but that's not what... I mean, no. You go there to learn about who you are.
And that's all about smoking weed.
Well, that's where you are in that point in life from like 18 to what, 24 or so.
Yeah.
You know, you're spending a lot of time like, you know, starting your new era in life, you know, because when you're 18, it's the end of an era, you know, if you go the standard high school route. And it's almost like you could... You know, if that's all you ever knew, schooling, you'd be like, man, this is the end. I'm a senior now. I mean, what's on the other side of it? And then, you know, you got to kind of figure out what you want to be on the other side of that being in school from 8 to 6. And going to college is kind of a transition between that and the real life. But wherever you are, you know, you're spending that time learning who you are.
How to smoke weed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know it's Texas, and Texas has always been real anti-weed, but it's Austin, Texas, and that's like the music capital of Texas, and
Austin and Houston. You
should be smoking weed, man. It's like I thought it was funny that they gave the comics all a prize pack from the smoke shop, which automatically means that they just assume that every comedian is a stoner.
Or that they know somebody they can make some quick bucks off of.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, man. What a Monday.
You know, Tim Allen once served some time when in his early 20s.
Oh, for cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew
680
that.
680 grams, something like that.
I thought you were going to say 680 days.
No. I don't know.
How long was he in jail?
A couple months, I think. 60 days, I think, maybe.
Yeah, that kind of came back to haunt him.
Maybe a couple years.
Like some people put it out on... blast or whatever after he got popular. They're like, well, did you know he used to be a cokehead and went to prison for 680 grams of coke? It's like, so what? He's still funny and he's doing his thing. Why are you trying to bring him down? It was in the past.
Like there's never been a comic who did coke.
Yeah, that's like a prerequisite.
I know it is.
Like you have to do coke.
If you want to travel, I mean, you know, at some point, it's the lifestyle that you have to probably do as a struggling... Well, that is easily available to be there because, you know, it keeps you confident, I would imagine, right? When you're up on stage and feeling like your performance is the best ever, every night, probably.
Yeah, yeah. It's too funny. Hey, well, I'm going to do this real quick because since this is the last show, I'm not going to do plugs afterwards, and I just have a few, so I'm just going to do them right now. We got some good comedy shows coming up. April 4th, it's a Thursday, at the Peacock. It's a Comedy at the Cock with Jesse Priest. He's got Paul Jay coming down, who recently moved to Portland from L.A. He's been an L.A. comic for years. Xander DeVoe, Trevor Thorpe, Enrico Ott. It's 8 p.m. show. It's free. It's 21 and over at the Peacock in Corvallis. Also on the 6th, which is a Saturday, April 6th, we got the Fat Camp Comedy Show at the Wetlands in Eugene with your host Drew Tiedemann from the Donkey Show. We're going to have Tim Hammer headlining, and we also got Mac Chase and Chris Castles telling jokes as well. And then April 21st, we got the Doug Benson's third annual 420 show, which is a day late because he's always so stoned he can't get anywhere on time. So check those shows out online. That's all I got for you right now. And now we'll just get back to our regularly scheduled business and wrap up this final show ever. It's kind of sad.
I was listening to something the other day.
What?
The new Strokes album, Comeback Machine.
Is it good? I heard a new Queens of the Stone Age song.
Are you a fan of the Strokes?
No.
You don't?
I'm not anti-Strokes, okay. But I just... They don't strike you? No, they don't do... They don't
strike
me.
Here's a little background for the Strokes. For
me. All right.
The Strokes came out right before the White Stripes hit big.
Uh-huh.
And they had a fresh sound, I would say.
Yeah.
You know?
It was different.
But it was like a relaxed, rocking kind of a thing. Just like they had a real heavy... We're just ourselves in a New York band kind of vibe.
Didn't really care.
Yeah,
they weren't trying to conform.
You know,
there
were catchy songs.
Yeah, I only heard a few, but they didn't, like you said, they didn't stroke me, so I didn't.
Yeah, and so I listened to that album quite a lot until the White Stripes came out, and then the White Stripes took over for
they took
that
their
thing.
Slot. Yeah,
and I think that happened like. Not just for me, but for everybody, because the Strokes were like before the White Stripes were getting big, which is only a couple, 3 months.
Right.
They were touted as like saving rock and roll at a place where it needed to be saved at that time.
Right.
Because, you know, 2000, right? And so there wasn't, there was a lot of, Linkin Park?
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
Yeah, gross. Drowning Pool.
Papa Roach.
Yeah. Poop.
Yeah, but somebody needed to set it back to the rawness, and they did that. But and then I kind of lost them, even though I still enjoy that album when it comes on. It's like it puts you in the mood, and kind of. But the new one, there's no. It's called Comeback Machine, and the first thing I noticed about it was minimalized packaging, like
bare bones.
Bare bones. It looked like a reel-to-reel tape cover, box cover, right?
That's cool. Okay.
And then on the back, it had the track listing and everything. But you open it up, and there's like the insides are just complete red. There's no words.
And not then, even two peak equal sign.
Yeah. And so you take out the booklet, and it's like a fold out. You know, probably 8 panel on each side, right? And the one panel, or on the one side, every panel is a silhouette. It's just red with the black silhouette of the band member. And on the other side, all 6 pages, absolute nothing.
I hate that when they give you an 8-page fold-out and they just put, like, pictures and no words. I hate
that.
Yeah,
it's just completely red on the back side.
I don't like that.
I was like, I would be disappointed. You know,
why would you waste all that packaging for nothing?
Yeah, because... You know, I'm of the thing of you cram as much on there as possible.
Right. Thanks to the band. Thanks to all the lyrics to the songs,
or just
production credits.
On it, you know?
Or yeah, something.
You know,
something
like
arty.
The old. What was the old? Oh, Demo Crazy Shred 89. You know,
classic.
Yeah, and so that turned me off, and so Lance like, oh, well, let's listen to a few songs. Let's put a few songs on, and the first one comes on, and it's like electronic pop.
Did he like the Strokes back in the day?
He liked that album.
Okay.
You know, so much that he bought this album, Comeback Machine.
Oh, he bought it.
Yeah, and so, but, you know, Lance buys a lot of music.
Bought the Strokes.
But
Get him, Hans.
Get him, Hans. And we listen to it, and it's electronic pop.
Yuck.
Like, straight up like if they had one of the guys from LMAFO.
Ew.
Like, come on and, like,
remixed their album. That's what it sounded like. And it wasn't...
That's not good.
It wasn't guitar-based, you know, which the Strokes, New York, stripped down four or five piece, right? You know, that's what you want. But on the other level, you think of a band that they should be able to explore different sounds, especially if something is like just a little 33-minute little album, right? They should be able to like go in a different direction that they find fun to fuck around with and just release it.
Yeah.
So with the simple packaging, I'm just thinking, well, I hope it's just like in another 6 months they would come out with another.
Yeah.
And just like, this is just one of those things, but I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm kind of glad that you didn't like it because I don't really like those guys. No.
Well, that's, you know, that's fine. Yeah, I just, that's...
I thought that they kind of ruined that song. I don't know that they ruined it, but the song that they did, the guy did that song with Queens of the Stone Age. Sick.
Oh, I didn't know he did
that. He co-wrote on that and sang on it, and I just thought that that was like the worst Queens of the Stone Age song ever. And so I attributed it to him.
Well, that song was blown up, right?
Yeah, that was a big hit.
Yeah.
And I think it was because of the fact that the Strokes
I didn't really get into that album very much.
Yeah, I didn't either. They got a new one coming out, though, and I saw a live video of Lollapalooza from just on the 30th Saturday night. They played a new song called The Sun Is My God.
Oh, nice.
It's a pretty cool song.
Show?
It was on the internet. So it was on YouTube. It was a Lollapalooza tour over in Brazil or somewhere weird. And they got a new touring drummer. It's not Dave Grohl. It's the drummer from Mars Volta. Uh-huh. And he also has a side project with Zach De La Roca.
Nice.
Which I didn't even know about. It's been around since 2008. But, yeah, he's a frizzy-headed drummer. Looks kind of dark-complected. It was kind of weird to see him, but he was rocking it. So, yeah, Queens of the Stone Age, they have a different-looking lineup, but it's only Troy. Huh. They got that new bass player from a couple years ago, and then they got that Dean Ferita, which was producing back in the Lullabies days, and now he's playing guitar and keys. So I'm excited to hear it, though, because Dave is on most of the new album. I heard Joey Castillo is on one song, and that other dude.
It should be good.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'm pretty sure they're going back to their roots, they said.
Yeah. And it reminded me of that Funny or Die video I was talking about earlier that I enjoyed so much. It was an audition for a guy from Sub Pop.
Bruce Poneman?
Yeah, I don't... Have you seen it?
Bruce Pavitt? John Poneman? No.
But it was all set up. They had just guys coming in, trying out for a new band. Huh. And it was people like Moby came on and Duff McKagan.
Huh.
One of the guys from Sunny Day Real Estate and Weird Al. Not Weird Owl, but Weird Al.
Yankovic.
And, there were probably 15 in total of, like, just cool little spot musicians. Some you hadn't seen in a while, and some were just like, what the fuck? And some were like, wow. Because Duff came on, and they're like, you ever been in any bands before? And he's like, Guns N' Roses. And they're like, come on, you weren't in Guns N' Roses. He's like, yeah, I was.
Be serious.
And they're like, no, the Guns N' Roses, Axl, Slash,
Izzy,
and that other guy, and that blonde guy. And Duff's like, there was two blonde guys in the band. And then they're like, no, get serious. And he's like, he unplugged his bass, and he's like, fuck this shit, I don't need this gig.
That's hilarious. I'm going to have to check that out for
sure. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, because I think he lives back up there in Seattle now.
Yeah, he does writing and stuff. You know, I read an article he wrote for ESPN.
Huh. Did not know that.
How shitty Northwest sports teams are, I think.
Sportsdom.com. Weird, wacky stuff. I did not know that. Hey, speaking of websites, you should check them out. They're only going to be up for a couple days till we lose all of our shit. Terrigal.com, VFMF.org is staying up because that is our separate entity.
And flyjelly.com, my new novelty, and soon to be jingle.
Tagcastpodcast.com, you can check out all of our past episodes up to this very last one. And you can donate some money. If we get $150 by tomorrow, we'll keep her on the air, but I don't think it's going to happen. So click on the Amazon. That'll help us if you buy some stuff. And follow us on Tumblr, on Facebook. Twitter, all that shit. But yeah, thanks for listening, you guys. Hope you guys have a wonderful Monday. Like I said, Wednesday, hump day episode, we're going to have Chris Castles and Mac Chase. They're going to talk about some videos they've been producing. And I believe that they're going to include us on an episode of their webisode called Grillin' with Mac.
Which now, is that
gonna,
video?
Yeah, it's a video. Nice. They, and Chris does some really creative video editing, and I like his work, so it should be fun. We'll get together, write up a quick script off of a basic idea that me and Chris had about a... Well, I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
A basic idea that I had. And then we'll write our script and probably ad lib a little bit. But it's going to be a fun time. We're going to go down and grill with Mac and Chris. And
you did say...
I did say that we're going to have the show Wednesday. Because yeah. April Fools, you guys, I fucking blew it. I wasn't going to tell you until the end when Floyd was playing our outro song. And you guys probably knew that. I know Stan knew because he didn't cut our funding. And Pizza Now, oh, love those guys.
He posted a picture of the package I sent him with some promotional materials and some goodies.
I'm going to try to make it happen. I did. He's like, cool prize package. And Amber said, oh, no free hugs? It's like, well, you can't send hugs in the mail.
I like that. She said... Love you, Stan. And then she went back and was like, love you, Terry and Dana Guile.
She don't love you? Yeah. Oh, no love for the Gatch, man.
I laugh when I see stuff like that, though.
Gatchalampagolagas.
It's like, you just like slapping me for no reason.
Hey, love, Stan. You could have left it at that.
Yeah, I would go back and comment the other, just like, I'm like
oh, maybe man, 3 days later, she'll go, I kind of like you a little bit, Dustin, but you pissed me off that one time. I know everybody was pissed.
I mean, love
she pisses a lot of people off. Hopefully she doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, she does.
Love you.
I just thought that moment was funny.
I won't mention any names, but there was another girl that didn't care too much, that you didn't care too much for her, and she said, I'd listen to the show, but I just can't stand listening to Dustin's voice.
I don't mind that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're not done. We're going to bring some pizza down. I'm pretty sure I'm going to work it out to where we'll get up here, get the equipment, get a couple pizzas, head down to Eugene, record a remote broadcast at Grilling with Mac, and we will have that. You guys want to tune in because you don't want to miss that. It's going to be some good shiznit. And the TagCast rap will be coming up next week. I'm going to make it happen, so...
Hell yeah.
Not today. I got to go lose another comedy contest.
Hey, man. What are you supposed to say? Because I don't ever want to say good luck to you.
Yeah,
and I don't want to say...
Well, didn't you say it the other night? Last night?
No, I said I don't want to say good luck.
Well, obviously that didn't work, so you must have to say good luck.
All right. Well, good luck tonight, man.
Thanks, man. It's a sold-out show, so that doesn't happen too much in my comedy world. So I think
at least it'll be a good showing and... You know,
it'll be my first true attempt at TG-13.
Oh, nice.
Can't talk about.
Make sure you hand out some of your cards for children's parties. You're open
clean.
For.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you on a hump day.
Rock on.
And meta.
And April Fools.
Chicken and waffle ruffles. Try those yet?
No.
I refuse. Tastes like gravy.
Take care, podcast. .com